I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome back in, everyone. Brendan, why don't you just do the whole show by yourself? I think I'm going to go take a nap under the desk here.
Yeah, I think it's just the weather.
That and the lack of sleep for me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know why. It happens.
I thought you were going to go with a shameless plug of Pizza Doctor here because we've all got full bellies now.
We do have full bellies from Pizza Doctor, the sponsor of this fine podcast. Check them out at Midtown Point in Tupelo. So, yeah, we had some sausage, some pepperoni. And so, yeah, now I doubly need a nap. But instead, we'll do this episode. We've got a lot to talk about. Baseball, softball, the Andrew Brown saga continues. Got a little Cruton news as well. So again, thanks for joining us on this Wednesday, the 10th of April, 2024, the year of our Lord. We come to you every Wednesday, by the way. Find us on Spotify or iTunes, any of those podcast apps that we all have on our phones. So let's start on the diamond. Guess what, Brendan? It's still raining.
Yeah, I found that out. It was an interesting drive to work this morning.
Yes, it seems like every single week for the past, well, basically almost the whole season, we've had rainouts, and it's gotten ridiculous. I mean, we got a few games in this past Monday, none Tuesday that I'm aware of, and, you know, sometimes they'll make up those games on a Wednesday, but no luck today with that. A lot of games already from scheduled for tomorrow getting moved. Like Mantachie and Kossuth are supposed to play a big Region 1-3A softball series this week. Started out originally on the schedule, it was going to be a Tuesday-Thursday. And then when they saw the rain forecast for this week, they changed it to Monday and Saturday. Monday at Kossuth, Saturday at Mantachie. Then they changed it again, couldn't play Monday, to Thursday-Saturday. And now they've just changed it once again. Doubleheader on Saturday at Kossuth. And that will determine the division title. Both of those teams are extremely good, and I'll be up there Saturday for both of those games. But, yeah, lots of rain. Tupelo and Starkville with a big region series in 2-7A this week has also been had to scramble that schedule. They will now play Friday at Tupelo, Saturday at Starkville. So, I believe Starkville is tied with Madison Central for first place. Tupelo a couple of games back. Speaking of baseball, Brendan, you had an update on West Union, a team that made it to the 1A finals last year. Kind of got off to a slow start this year, and then again with the rain. I mean, pretty much everybody's been affected by the rain, but it seems like West Union perhaps a little more so. They've only gotten in 16 games. Other teams have gotten in 24, 25 or more.
Yeah, it's kind of been a Murphy's Law kind of year is what I would call it. You know, it's just been really strange. Haven't really seemed to have any momentum over the year. They've gotten a bunch of rainouts. Their baseball team had to start late because of
basketball.
Of basketball, and you know it's 1A, so I mean that's pretty much the entire team.
Yeah. The thing is, they got everybody back from last year except one guy that graduated. I mean, you got guys like Greer Manning and Gabe Martin and John Gray Morrison. I mean, they've got the same amount of talent and perhaps more as last year when they, again, made it to the 1A finals. Now, they're going to have to get past Biggersville at some point, which they did last year. I can't remember if that was the third round on the North Finals, but I think it was the North Finals. But anyway, Biggersville is going to be tough to beat in 1A, but West Union, again, I think they do have the talent to get it done.
Third round.
Okay. Thank you. Remind me.
I just so happened to have that tab up because I was writing the story earlier.
Remind me of, remember when Tony Reale was on the, pardon my interruption, he was like their fact check guy at the end of every episode.
Growing up, we watched the Marlins a lot, and at one point they referred to, I guess, like their research team or somebody on the broadcast team was the crack staff for their, yeah. You know, like their trivia questions or whatever. And in my household, I gained a reputation for trying to look things up pretty quickly. So my family jokingly refers to me as the crack staff.
Crack staff.
So
There are worse nicknames to have, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, so West Union just trying to – they did win their region title, so that's a big momentum boost for them as we close in on the postseason, which, by the way, starts next weekend for classes 1A through 4A, and then the weekend after that, the 26th, for 5 through 7A. So trying to get all these division games played before the end of the regular season, and the weather is making that difficult. Back on Monday, one of the games that was played was Saltillo against South Panola in a big 1-6A softball showdown. South Panola beat Saltillo 3-0 the first meeting, and they won the second meeting on Monday by the same score. South Panola is a team that made it to the 6A finals last year. Now Saltillo, of course, they made it to the 5A finals. Now they're up in 6A. So this is one of the teams they're going to have to get past. But so far, 0-2 against South Panola, and not many pitchers can out-duel A.K. Willingham, but Sadie Bright of South Panola is really, really good. She struck out 15 batters, I think 9 in a row at one point, and just was they couldn't do anything with her. I think they ended up with 3 hits, Saltillo did. And Willingham, it's not like she pitched poorly. And, you know, she walked a few, gave up some hard-hit balls, but that offense, man, that's legit good offense. I love their approach at the plate, especially with 2 strikes. I think 5 of their 7 hits came with 2 strikes. So that's a sign of a good, patient offensive approach. And so, again, South Panola gets the win 3-0. Does not mathematically clinch the region title for South Panola, but pretty much does. I don't think they'll run into any trouble the rest of their region schedule. Saltillo, I think, you know, can beat South Panola. I mean, all you got to do is, if you meet them in the playoffs, win 2 out of 3. So, Saltillo, I think that's a doable thing for them, but they're going to have to figure out how to get some hits off of Sadie Bright, because they've gotten 6 total with no runs scored in 2 games against her. Okay, let's get back to the Andrew Brown situation. Last week on this podcast, we talked about how he had an appeal coming up. It's actually more of a petition for reinstatement. They had a hearing last Thursday at the MHSAA offices in Clinton. And the MHSAA has declined to reinstate Andrew Brown, the freshman distance runner from Tupelo, who was ruled ineligible by the MHSAA after he ran at a national meet, an indoor meet in Boston in early March. And not to get back into the rules he may or may not have broken, and or the rules that may or may not actually exist regarding this, but, yeah, so the appeal, it's not a formal appeal. He could file, or he could go to arbitration, rather, get a neutral third party to work it out. But, I mean, at this point, it's the track and field postseason is about to start, and the state championships are in early May. So probably, and you got to put down some money, I think. I don't know exactly how all that works. I know you have to put money down for an appeal. It's very confusing because the family and the lawyer Jay Ware that they used, they were calling it not so much an appeal as a like I said, petition for reinstatement, but they also told me that the MHSAA from their end views it as an appeal, which makes no sense. But this is the MHSAA we're talking about. A lot about this story makes no sense. We still don't know who turned him in. I had a column that dropped online today about that. Should be in tomorrow's hard copy of the journal. It's a bad rule, Brendan. The part about mainly the part about not being able to run in an indoor race during outdoor season. I mean, like sports like golf and tennis, you know, track and field is the same way, where they're very individual focused, and that these kids, I mean, yeah, they have teams they're on, but, you know, going forward, I mean, it's really more of an individual sport where you can go off and play in these events by yourself. You don't have to be part of a team, per se. And it seems like the MHSAA is not, in my opinion, not making enough allowances for that. And, you know, you worked in Utah for a while, where winter sports are big up there. And, you know, a lot of those athletes are, you know, it's an individual sport, basically, with skiing or snowboarding or whatever. So.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a little different because, you know, we didn't have like like the UHSAA doesn't sanction skiing, for example.
Right.
And honestly, that's kind of its own beast because, you know, you've got team, you've got kids playing for, or, you know, competing for like the national team, for example.
Right.
But I mean, we had kids on like the local, high school track team just go out and do like indoor meets in like, Idaho or something, you know, like it was no problem.
Yeah. And people here do it all the time. Just nobody's ever reported someone before.
Yeah. I've never heard of this kind of issue happening before.
I haven't either. And the thing is, the MHSAA does not recognize indoor season. And I can't remember if I mentioned this last week, but, you know, on the original MHSAA athletic calendar for 2023-24, there was no mention of indoor season. You know, they list the seasons, when they start, when they end, when the playoffs start, all that stuff for each sport. After this Andrew Brown news broke, they went back and revised that calendar and added the dates for indoor season. And then you look at the tentative 2024-25 athletic calendar the MHSAA has on its website. No mention of indoor track and field. So they're trying to cover their butts and doing it very poorly.
So,
yes.
Also, like the, you know, kind of the way you can tell this is strictly like a, or kind of like a uniquely Mississippi thing is like, if this was commonplace elsewhere, these meets wouldn't exist.
Right. Exactly. It's just the rule needs to be clarified and or changed. And there's just so much that's muddled about this situation. Anyway. You can read all my coverage on it at thejournal.com. And again, I have that column I just wrote. Should be in tomorrow's paper. Recruiting news. Macy Pfeiffer of Ingomar has committed to Middle Tennessee State. Macy, of course, was the 2024 Daily Journal Girls Player of the Year. Led Ingomar to yet another state title. That's three titles they've won with Macy in the lineup. Since her eighth grade year, Gatorade Player of the Year, Miss Basketball for 2A. I mean, she's one of the best to come through this area in a while. I mean, we've got some other elite talent on her level around here, but I mean, just what she's done over the breadth of her career for, you know, the past four seasons, and she's got 1 year left. And Middle Tennessee State, you know, yeah, that's not an ACC school. I mean, I never saw her as an SEC prospect necessarily, but Middle Tennessee State, that's a mid-major, but it's a pretty strong program they've got. I think, didn't they make the tournament once or twice recently?
Something like that. I'll try to get something.
I think they went to the, somebody said they went to the second, I think they went to the second round this year or last year. But anyway, it seems like it's pretty good program to be a part of. And she said when she announced it on Monday, it felt like family, which you hear that a lot, but you know, it's important. You know, you want to feel at home away from home, and especially when you're from tiny Ingomar. She's going to be in Murfreesboro, which is just outside Nashville.
So you're looking at second round this year, first round in 23, and then they also made the tournament in 21.
There you go. So yeah, she's joining a strong program there at Middle Tennessee. So congrats to Macy Pfeiffer. And let's close things out with the Athlete of the Week nominees. You can go vote for male and female athletes of the week at our Twitter page, at DJournalSports. We'll have a couple of polls posted here shortly. You can go vote for those. Here are the nominees, female Athlete of the Week nominees: Aniston Christian of Pine Grove, Ava Elliott of New Site, and Allie Murphy of Myrtle. Male nominees: Hunter Kuhl. Cool. I should know how to pronounce that. His dad's a coach. Anyway, Hunter Kuhl of Ripley, Ethan Parker of Vardaman, J.D. Whitaker of Hamilton. Again, go to our Twitter page at DJournalSports to vote for Athletes of the Week. That's all the time we have. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Brad. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad Locke. Brendan is on there at BFarrell727. And Podgator does not have a Twitter account yet. I think he wants one, though. We have to get him one.
See, we might need to make, like, a parody page or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. If I, like, I have time for that. Okay, so we'll be back next week. See you then.